Hey everyone, it's Kristen
and David
from You Had Me at Murder, a true crime podcast. We're back for episode 11. It took us a little longer than expected. Technical difficulties, life difficulties, you know, but we're here, ready to give you guys an awesome episode. First things first, we just wanted to say thank you to the people who sent really kind messages this week and left really great reviews. We appreciate it more than you'll ever know. We did get a pretty savage email that said we talk about ourselves too much. I'm assuming they were referring to us talking about the podcast growth. Despite the email being very mean, I did realize that a lot of other shows don't talk about that. They just post it on social media. So we will start that and thank you for the growth from there. And try to keep the show as murdery as possible.
Thank you very much for all the views or all the listens. And
we'll keep making episodes so you know that we're thankful. You ready to get started?
Yep.
All right. Tonight we are here to talk about the murder of Michelle Mishkon and her husband, John Stevens III. Michelle was one of five children who grew up in North Miami Beach. She graduated in 1981 and then headed to Florida State University. A friend from elementary school said, "I will never forget her freckled face and auburn hair. Everyone gravitated towards her. She was very popular." She worked at Northwestern Mutual Stryamp Financial Group for 15 years, where she was loved by everyone. A coworker remembered when her mother was diagnosed with lung cancer, Michelle helped her form a team to take part in the American Lung Association's fight for air climb and smiled the entire time she did it, which that was some sort of like one of those race obstacle athletic-y type things. Michelle met John Stevens III in the late 1990s. He was a divorced father of two working at Prudential Securities, where Michelle also worked at the time. According to their son, John Stevens IV, they met there and just loved each other. He said the relationship was just so solid and never in question. Michelle loved me and my sister as if we were her own. And I think that's really special because you don't normally hear stepchildren talk about their parents' relationship that way.
Yeah. Normally what you hear is the opposite.
Right. Yeah. So I feel like they must have been just really great together and great parents to the kids. John Stevens IV refers to his father as an old soul who grew up reading the newspaper and still did every day. He said overall, his main thing was kindness. He would tell his son, "Whatever you do in life, if you're kind to people, you'll be successful." What a great motto. He said his dad was very successful, so he stuck to that and it worked out for him. John had recently retired and was planning on spending every day with his wife. On August 15th, 2016, their daughter Ivy had stopped by their house. She had recently moved out and was bringing by some food for her dog. John and Michelle were in their garage. He was painting the walls and she was reading her Kindle on the couch. The couple was preparing to sell the house. They were downsizing, hoping to buy something smaller on the water since the kids had all moved out. Ivy said their garage was a common place to hang out with three couches, and if the garage door was open, which it normally was, friends and neighbors knew they could come right in. They referred to their garage as the Garage Mahal, and while it wasn't anything fancy, it hosted a lot of parties and get-togethers. Ivy left that night. Only hours later, John took their dog for a walk and returned home to be attacked by a stranger.
So let's go back to December 21st, 1996, when Austin Huruff was born in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, to Wade and Mina Huruff, a dentist and pharmacist. His parents split up in 2010, but it's reported that the split family got along and Austin primarily lived with his mother. In high school, he played football and wrestled. A wrestling roster found online showed him as 6 foot tall and weighing 200 pounds. Not a small guy by any means. Remember that as the story continues. In an interview with his father, he said he dropped Austin off at the high school gym, and that's where he flourished as an athlete. He really came out of his shell and became this kid who could talk to people and became a great football player and wrestler. Austin hoped to enroll in pre-med at a four-year university and earn a doctorate. While in high school, he never earned a grade lower than C, and he was in the International Baccalaureate Program, which offers advanced classes that can lead to college credits. He took courses in biology, chemistry, statistics, and math analysis. In journal entry, he wrote that he loves science because it never stops, even though I may not be great at it yet. Austin was also very much into art. He received all A's in the IB courses he took in art. He told his mother he could write music to make money. In an essay, possibly for college entry, he wrote, "I also see myself as creative. I love imagining anything." He was employed at a dentist's office. His father said he worked hard, and even though he didn't have a degree, he was sitting in on implant surgeries and other larger procedures like that. He wasn't just some rich kid living off of mom and dad's money. He was actually working while he wasn't in school. We're glad we came across this information because it's so easy to just imagine him as some spoiled brat. But I don't think he actually was. It's also really easy to imagine that he didn't have great parents, but you know, we don't think that's the case either. The time frame we're talking about, Austin was 19 years old, so not really a kid anymore. And they're still having family dinners regularly. They're still going places together on the weekend. Austin even spent time with his sister on a regular basis. I feel like those things are less common these days, especially at 19. But before I get too distracted, at the time of the murders, he was a sophomore at Florida State University studying exercise science with a 3.2 GPA, and he was a member of the Alpha Delta fraternity. His father said he was an extremely nice, gentle person who cared a lot about people. A friend said Austin was a funny, goofy kid who liked to make people laugh. He had a YouTube channel with the name A Frost, short for Austy Frosty. The channel included fitness tips and cover songs. So nothing about that sounds odd, right? Just a normal life.
Just a normal life. Except on his YouTube channel, which was created 5 months before the attacks, in the description he wrote, "I've got a psycho side and a normal side. I've lost my mind. Help me find it." If that is not foreshadowing of bad things to come, I don't know what is.
Right.
15 videos were uploaded from Austin in the week leading up to the murders, each a little more weird than the last. In some videos, he's talking in strange voices. In others, he's obsessing over steroid use. Here's a clip from a video on August 6th, 9 days before the attack. When I first started researching this case, I had wondered if his parents had seen the videos or watched his channel regularly, because if it were my kid, I would have been like, "What was your thought process there? Are you okay? Do we need to talk?" In another video from July 13th, 2016, Austin is walking through his house with a gun, which he pretends to shoot. Then he grabs a knife and is walking through the house with the knife out in front of him. And it's in the camera's view. So like, it's like first person. Yeah. In my opinion, that's not normal. I better not catch one of our kids walking through our house with a knife like that.
While we're talking about murder on podcast.
Right. As my research continued, I did find out that his parents did not watch his channel. They knew about the videos, but did not watch them. His mother said if she had seen the videos, she would have really noticed the decline in his mental state. His father said he can see the psychosis over Austin in some of the videos. His parents did notice that their son was acting erratically in the weeks leading up to the attacks, stating he was not sleeping and was obsessing over helping people. So here is a clip of the video I mentioned.
Hello. Hi, guys. I just wanted to say that I think the best exercise for your chest muscles would probably be the bench press. Yeah. I think that probably is the best exercise for your chest, because it helped really develop it. I mean, I did other chest exercises and it just was the best. Like, I just want to fucking say that. And, like, anybody who disagrees is such an asshole. Fuck!
On August 9th, 2016, he told his mother that God had spoken to him and his mission was to help others, and he pulled out what she called a pamphlet that a Jehovah's Witness would carry. Austin's mother's boyfriend was there, and he said, "Austin, God did not talk to you. From there, they asked if he'd been using drugs. He said not recently. His mother sends Austin and her boyfriend into his room to clean it out. She said she didn't want to be in there. She didn't want to be in the room with them in case they came across something that would embarrass Austin. And at first I was like, well, what does she mean by that? But then I'm thinking, oh, it's like a 19-year-old boy. Who knows what's in there? Gross.
All kinds of gross stuff, I'm sure.
While they were cleaning out the room, her boyfriend found mushrooms and a couple Vyvanse and possibly weed. After finding this, his mother said to him, Austin, how are you going to help others if you can't help yourself? Austin said she was right and that he wasn't going to drink or do drugs anymore. Now, I find this very interesting because on August 10th and 11th, the 2 days following this conversation, Austin posts 2 YouTube videos talking about why he does not do steroids.
What's up, guys? Pulling a little Jason Genova, driving while talking, but that's all right. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you about why I don't do steroids, and the reason is I don't want to, you know? I don't feel like it'd be beneficial for me to do steroids, you know? It just wouldn't, because it damages my health. I feel like I have to depend on it every day. That's a life not worth living for me, you know? I figure it like this. Why not just be comfortable being lean, looking and being healthy? That's what makes me satisfied. I'm not saying that steroids are bad. If you want to do them, go right ahead, man. But I'm just saying this. Appreciate your fitness, your muscles. Stay at it, man. Stay at it. Nutrition, air-thying, bruh. Air-thying. Just do it, bruh. It's sick, it piss. Pulling a little Genova, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. What's up, guys? I just want to let you know that I came to a realization of something. I no longer want to follow Arnold or any other bodybuilder. I want to follow myself, you know? I want to actually believe in myself. I want to learn from other things, other people, other bodybuilders and stuff. But I just know that they're not me, you know? I know what's right for me. I don't need drugs. I know that they can change me. But the thing is, that's not being healthy, you know? Being healthy is what's natural, you know? What comes natural to you? Do you think steroids are natural? Who knows, you know? Who knows? Do you think steroids would be beneficial? Who knows? But for me, I know that... I don't know, but... I think that... steroids really aren't for me. Honestly. I used to think that... I needed steroids to be... to be a bodybuilder. To be this thing. To be this symbol. To be this... lie, you know? All I need is really just to learn from everything. I'm learning from all the protein companies. I'm learning from all the bodybuilders, you know? I'm learning what did they do wrong? I'm learning where did they go wrong, you know? What do I think they did wrong? We're all the same, though. Peace out. Peace.
After knowing that he had this conversation with his mother about not doing drugs anymore, then posting 2 videos right away, it makes me think that there is a possibility that Austin was indeed using steroids. I want to talk more about the possibility of steroid use later in the episode, but I wanted to share those videos early on so we can all understand the magnitude of how erratic the behavior was.
Yeah, super, super strange. I mean, you can hear the difference in his voice when he's talking normally and then when he's clearly
doing what
do yeah
whatever doing it. It's like the
crazy thing,
the crazy voices that they're not even the same accent, like he doesn't even try to don't know, that it's bizarre. Austin's mother said the first change she noticed in Austin was when he came home from FSU for the summer. He all of a sudden wanted to be a rapper. He said she said you have to finish school, and his response was that people make a lot of money rapping. She said the lyrics were vulgar, but Austin thought they were funny. 10 days before the attack, he wrote in this notepad on his phone, "I'm so sick and tired of doing what I'm told. I'm going to leave my mark when I get old."
So he also had a lot of interesting searches on his phone and computer leading up to this attack. So searches include, "Must I sleep? I think I'm going crazy. Am I? What am I? How to know if you're going crazy? Can we really control more than we think? How to relax my mind? Auditory hallucinations when falling asleep. Schizophrenia. Is it okay to overthink things? Satan. What exactly is hell? Adam and Eve. How to sell your soul to the devil. Centaurs, half human, half horse." He read articles titled, "What Am I Crazy Really Means? Why Aren't We Happier? In the Pursuit of Happiness."
Mentioned by themselves, they wouldn't sound too bad, but when you add the behavior to it, it gets, you know, kind of murky. So some of the lyrics he wrote for his rap songs were centered around self-doubt. He had wrote an essay that said he wanted to be something different. He wrote, "I want to be more confident and social. I also want to be more well-known because right now I feel as though I am unknown." In a poem he worked on between January and June of 2016, he wrote, "Some people have it all planned out, but me, man, I'm just filled with doubt. It's like sometimes I wish I was something more." His girlfriend had also noticed that there was a change in his behavior, and she had told his mother. So, like I said, some of that may mean absolutely nothing, but when you combine it with behavior, it really makes you wonder. Leading up to the attack, Austin walked through his house telling family members he needed to guard them because he felt an evil presence. On the Saturday before the attack, which would have been August 13th, Austin and his father visited a gun show where Austin bought a knife. After the gun show, Austin and his father went to dinner. Austin's father had noticed how serious his son had become, and he was basically pleading with him at dinner, "I want my Frosty back. I want my old Austin back. What's wrong with you? Why are you so serious?" Austin's response was, "I am not drinking or doing drugs anymore," and then he got up from the table and left the restaurant. He approached a family outside for a ride, and they put him in the back of their truck and took him to his mother's house. The following day, his mother said there was another family dinner where everything was fine. Austin was normal. He was talking to everyone. After the dinner, he asked his mother if she'd take him by his dad's house to get the car. It was still there from the previous day, from the gun show and then the dinner, and then him just leaving. They agreed that they'd go get it the next morning. Austin did not sleep that night and left the house early on foot to go get his car. His mother texted him and asked if he wanted a ride. He said, "No, I'm fine. Listen, no matter what I say to you, I'm just trying to protect you from evil. Nice guys finish last." His mother asked, "What does that mean?" And his response was, "Fuck off." She thought that was weird. She then asked where he was. He said he was on his father's boat. Knowing that he hadn't slept, his dad tried to give Austin some Valium that morning. Austin threw the Valium to the ground and said, "I will not be controlled by you anymore." And then jumps onto his father's car, leaving a dent in the hood. And that's because his dad would not give him the keys to the car. His father did eventually give him the keys to leave to prevent further damage to the car. Austin's dad said that he called two therapists that day to try to have Austin seen, but they were full and could not get him in. This is one of those times where I'm like, well, I wouldn't have given him the keys, even if he did put a dent in my car. But you don't know how you're going to respond in these situations until you're actually in them. I found myself, like, throughout the research on this, well, I wouldn't have ever let that happen, but you just don't know until you're dealing with right. it. Like, I kept thinking, well, why would they even let him have a knife if he's acting, like, so strange? But yeah. You just don't know.
Yep. And you know, maybe he thought it was a bonding moment or was going to, kind of, as crazy as it sounds, maybe calm him down, or, you know, that you know, again, that kind of bonding moment of going to the gun show and giving him a knife, and probably weren't thinking about what he might actually do with the knife.
Right.
Because you don't think that your kid is capable of that, probably, even with as erratic as behavior is.
Exactly. Well, after he leaves his father's, he goes back to his mom's, and he picked up his sister, and they leave for the beach, or possibly to the frat house. It's the details on that part are kind of murky. But I am thinking again, why did the sister leave with him if she knew he was acting so strange? But it is reported that he was acting strange wherever they were that day, either the beach house or the beach or the frat house. His sister messaged his mother and said she needed to call someone, as in a therapist, for Austin, because he had just made a U-turn at a red light and it scared her. She said that he was telling them he was immortal, he had superpowers, and he was invincible. Yeah. Austin's sister said that she had became so alarmed by Austin's behavior in the weeks before the attack that she had began locking her bedroom door at night. After the beach or the frat house, wherever they were, they went back to Austin's dad's house, where they went on a hike for 2 to 3 hours. His family reports that during the hike, there were periods where he was normal, and at other points, he was claiming to be superhuman. On the hike, they see two empty tortoise shells, and his dad said, "Well, look at that," pointing out that this was something rare to come across. Austin grabs his knife from his pocket, opens it, and holds it out in front of him, and tells everyone to get behind him because he feels like something is going to happen, like something bad's about to happen, and those tortoise shells were a sign. As the turtle incident is happening, his dad told him to put that thing away, when he actually uses a bunch of cuss words when he's describing it, but I'll leave those out. And he said that he's just trying to get Austin to snap out of it. After that, his dad said that Austin sprinted 2 to 3 miles. At that point, he was dehydrated, so they decided to go to dinner at Duffy's. Austin drank a glass of iced tea, said he was going to the bathroom, but instead left and walked to his mother's house. Can you imagine sprinting 2 to 3 miles?
I can't imagine sprinting 2 to 3 feet.
So just remember that too. Like, the average person, I don't think, can sprint 2 to 3 miles.
Most athletes can't sprint 2 to 3 miles. I mean, obviously, probably some exaggeration there from
right.
from the parent, but
still. It must have been an alarming distance
if he's
saying that. When he got to his mother's house, she said he was shirtless and sweaty. Now, he had been wearing a shirt at the restaurant, so who knows what happens to his shirt. She asked him if he was hungry. He said yes. She was preparing dinner and looked over, and Austin was about to drink a thing of cooking oil. She grabbed it from him and said, "That's not a drink." Then the phone rang. It was Austin's sister asking if he was there. His mother said yes. Now, she was slightly distracted because of this phone call. She looked over, and he had taken the cooking oil, put it in a bowl, then sprinkled mozzarella cheese on top of it and was eating it. She asked,
You don't do that?
No.
That's not dinner?
And I'm not even laughing because it's funny, but it's just one of those things that's so
absurd.
You have to, like, just chuckle. She asked why he left the restaurant. He said he didn't know. She asked again. He said he didn't want to wait. So his mother asked his sister if the food was ready. She said yes. So she asked him if he wanted to go back to the restaurant to get something to eat. He said yes. So she took him back and dropped him off at the front door. During the ride, his mother said that she thought he needed therapy, and he said okay. And she asked if he would go, and he said, "Yes, I'll go. I'll go." And she said she remembers him saying it twice. So he knew he needed help, which is...
You know, again, who knows what's going on in anybody's mind, but when you see your kid sitting down, and kid, 19-year-old man...
Your adult child, yeah.
Sitting down eating cooking oil with mozzarella cheese on it, I would feel like maybe that crosses a line that I might think, I'm going to take him now.
Right.
But again, they're obviously trying to help him. They're trying to be supportive in whatever way they can. They're trying to get him to, as you said, snap out of it. But that's absolutely, as abnormal as these other things are, eating cooking oil with mozzarella cheese on it is...
Maybe what would put you over the edge. That's what would do it for you. Yeah. That's what gets the kid put in the mental hospital.
Yeah.
Noted. But, you know, they were trying to spend a lot of time with him to, like, I know his dad had, after, like, immediately after work that day had came home so they could go on this hike. Like, they're trying to do, I guess, what they felt was what he needed.
Right.
I think it's hard to accept that there might be something going on with your kid, but I think it's just the fact that he said he would go.
Yeah.
Means he must have felt crazy too. Now, once they're back inside the restaurant, his dad grabbed him by the shirt collar because he did put a shirt back on at his mother's. He got a blue collar shirt from, she says she doesn't even know where he got it from in the house, but he put it on. She returns him wearing this blue shirt with a collar. The dad grabs him by the collar and asks, "What is going on with you?" Because this is now the second time in 3 days he has just left his dad at a restaurant. So his dad's upset.
Right.
I mean, for lots of reasons. Austin then swings at his dad, hit him, and then walked out of the restaurant. His family reports that he was agitated that night and then seemed embarrassed once his dad had confronted him about the behavior. Austin's sister called their mother again and asked if Austin was back at their house. She said no, and from there she called 911 with the intention of getting him Baker acted.
Police Department, Lunch Recorder. This is Chrissy.
Yes, I need to... I don't know how to do this. My son... He's kind of taken off, and I'm concerned about his own safety.
How old is he?
Acting a little strange. 19.
Does he live with you?
Yes.
Okay, what do you mean acting strange?
It seems like he's a little delusional, or like he's acting like...
Does he have a history of that or anything?
No, this is just like recent change, mm-hmm. and that we're noticing. And he was out to dinner with his dad today, and he took off. And we're just, you know, he was with his sister, and he says, you know, he feels immortal and like a superhero. So I don't know what's going on with him.
Do you know if he's been taking any drugs or anything like that?
Nothing. I've asked, and nothing mm-hmm. recent.
Right.
That I know of.
So did he leave the house, or did he leave from the restaurant? Where's he last seen it?
From the restaurant at Duffy's.
Which Duffy's is that?
By I-95.
In what city, though? We dispatched for 5.
Jupiter, I'm sorry.
Okay,
hold on. You know, he wants to help everybody. He's... Yeah, headed, well, last scene was going towards Island Way, towards, like, going towards North or Church Street.
Yeah. How long ago was this that he left?
I want to say 10 o'clock. It's not 9:30.
And he left on foot?
Yes. He had no ID on him, his, no phone.
And where are you at, ma'am?
I'm at home, 18421 Lost Lake Way in Jupiter.
What's the street?
Lost Lake Way.
Okay.
know, and I have will say, I think the only thing he has on him is a pocket knife switchblade.
Is that, where is that, your home, is that in West Jupiter or the...
In the Shores.
And it's Loft, L-O-F-T, is it?
L-O-S-T. L-O-S is in Sam, T is in Tom. Loft.
Okay. Lost Lakeway, okay.
Right.
And your name, ma'am?
Mina Hiroff.
What's your callback number?
561-745-1862.
And he's never done this before? I mean, this is like something new?
No. This is just, I mean, his friends, I'm calling all his friends, and they're like, it's just, he's changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he white, black, or Hispanic, ma'am?
He's white, he's got light brown hair. He's wearing white shorts, and he had a blue polo on, if he's wearing it, and a red hat. Make America Great Again.
Okay, what's his name?
Austin.
Middle name or initial?
K.
Spell the last name for me.
H-A-R-R-O-U-F-F, like Frank.
And his date of birth? 12-21-96. All right, I'll get an officer by that can, speak to you and see if they're going to put out a missing persons alert or what they want to do with it. Do you have no idea where he might have went or anything?
I have no clue.
Okay.
No clue.
Does he have any weapons that own or anything like that that he would have on him or anything? Pocket knife or anything like that?
Yeah, I said he had a pocket knife, like a switchblade type pocket knife. I don't know.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing he has on him.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't own any other weapons.
You said he left towards Island Way, and that was around 10 o'clock?
I want to say 9:30, 10, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll get somebody by there for you, okay?
Great, thank you.
Bye-bye.
It is gut-wrenching to think that his mother tried to get police out looking for him, and they didn't find him in time, because 4 miles down the road from Duffy's restaurant, Austin came across an open garage door. He found John, who had just came home from walking his dog. He attacked John in the driveway, stabbing him over and over. Michelle came out of the house, and he attacked her in the garage, beating and stabbing her. Their neighbor, Jeff Fisher, heard Michelle's screams and ran to help her. He encountered Austin, who said, "You don't want any of this." Jeff continued to try and help Michelle, and Austin then attacked him, stabbing him several times. He was using the knife he purchased from the gun show 2 days prior. The same knife he had pulled out when the tortoise shells were found. Jeff was able to get away. He ran through their house, out the front door, and across the street to his house to call for help. He never saw John laying in the driveway, which is why John isn't mentioned in the call for help.
Do you need fire, police, or medical?
Police and medical.
And medical on the line. It's late, sir.
Fire rescue, what's your address?
Young man beating up a woman across the street.
Okay, are they outside or in a house?
It's in a garage.
Okay, can you tell if he has any weapons?
I think he had a knife, but I'm not positive.
Okay, can you tell if she's injured or he's injured?
Say again?
Are either of them injured? Can you tell from where you are?
Yes, there's a girl laying on the ground. He beat her up. I ran over there. I'm bleeding profusely here at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
All right, can you tell if she's conscious or is she unconscious?
Say again?
Can you tell if she's conscious?
No, it does not appear so, no.
Okay, and what kind of injuries do you have?
I've been stabbed in the back.
With a knife?
Yes, I believe so. It was tough to tell.
Okay, you couldn't tell how long it was or anything?
We need an ambulance.
We're sending them. And where is he? Is he
in the garage, across the street from my house.
All right. What's your name? Okay. All right, we're going to get the paramedics right out there.
Sir, what did the guy look like? Was he white, black, Hispanic?
He is white.
You know how old he is?
About 25 years old.
And what was he wearing?
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Do you know who he is?
I have no idea.
Does he live at that house, or?
No, he does not.
Did the female look familiar to you?
I believe it was the daughter of the house that lives over there. I'm not positive.
Can you have your wife, or I don't want you moving if you've been stabbed, but can you have your wife or someone look out and see if he's still there?
I don't know. See if that car's still there, honey. It appears he's still there.
And you said you definitely saw a knife and that's what he hit you with in the back?
No, I did not see it, but my wife's looking in my back and it appears I got punctured.
Yes, Dad. In the neck, in the head, three puncture wounds.
Okay, we got units en route, okay?
Okay.
All right, just call us back if anything changes, all right?
So obviously that's Jeff's 911 call. When police arrive, Austin was on top of John, biting his face, wearing only his underwear. The officer described the scene. I saw a male lying on his back and another male had his legs intertwined and he had his arm wrapped around the male and he had his fingers like a fish hook in his mouth pulling his face, trying to pull his cheek apart. John was still alive at the time and was saying, "Help me, get him off." The officer tried to tase Austin, but it did nothing. The officer sent a canine in, which bit Austin's arm. Austin was able to get the dog off of him, and the officer said it only made him grip John harder. Remember, he's 200 pounds. He wouldn't be easy to handle in a normal state of mind, so imagine what this must have been like. The officer then began kicking Austin over and over again to get his body off of John and in a position where he could handcuff him. They were unable to shoot because they were afraid the bullet would go through to the victim. During the attack, reports say Austin was making animal sounds. Once he was in custody, he told the police with a mouth full of flesh, "Kill me. I'm eating people. Kill me," very loudly.
Interestingly enough, during this time, Austin's mother had went out looking for him because the daughter had told them a general direction that he had headed. And she passed all of this commotion of the attack. She stopped and asked the detective if they've seen her son. They in turn asked her if her son knew Ivy Stevens. His mother said she didn't believe Austin knew her. The police told her it was a domestic dispute and sent her on her way. They asked about Ivy because it was still being reported that she lived there and they couldn't find her. So they thought maybe she was another victim of the attack, which luckily she was not. Austin had also given authorities a fake name, Austin Moore, when he was arrested. So she was right there, but instead didn't know anything for hours later when they came knocking on her door, I think at 2 a.m. Initially, it was speculated that he was under the influence of Flocka or bath salts, but he told police at the hospital that they would not find any drugs in his system. It was assumed to be Flocka or bath salts because of other recent crimes in the area that had similarities to this scene, I guess.
Yeah, there was that guy in Miami. I believe it was Miami that they found on the sidewalk eating somebody's face. I believe they said he was on bath salts.
That might be the one I think of when I think of bath salts. Like, I don't think about bath salts regularly, but anytime it pops in my head, I'm like, don't do that because you'll eat people. And I had thought that maybe it was this story, but I couldn't, when I was reading this, I felt like I didn't know any of the details. So I must be thinking of that other one.
Yeah.
So it was because of the similarities, that's why they thought that. But the toxicology reports came back showing nothing crazy in his system. There was a little bit of alcohol and a little bit of THC in his system, and that is it. When Austin was arrested, he was taken to the hospital, where he initially was able to speak to officers, but was then unable to for a week after the attack. He was listed in critical condition for several days with a malfunctioning liver, fluid filling his lungs, and a bleeding esophagus. It was reported that Austin consumed some chemical in John and Michelle's garage that night, but the toxicology report showed only the alcohol, THC, and medications the hospital gave him. The police stated it's important to note that the blood and urine samples were taken in a timely manner, where if something was ingested, it would show up. Investigators also searched their garage and found no evidence that he had ingested anything there. No bottles with chemicals, like with the out of place in the garage, and none with loose caps. To my knowledge, they still do not know what actually caused the damage to Austin's organs that night.
Could it have been cooking oil? I don't know what consuming cooking oil would do to your body, but I can't imagine it's good things.
That's a good idea, but I imagine it would have had to have been hot if it was burning his esophagus, but I don't know. But he was released from the hospital sometime later. It was a while. I feel like it was into October, and then he was obviously sent to jail, where he still is. His father believes the murders were not drug-induced at all. He said he believes it is from the schizophrenia in his family or some other undiagnosed mental illness. Some signs of schizophrenia are that people are out of touch with reality, disorganized speech or behavior, decreased participation in daily behavior. People also may experience aggression, agitation, compulsive behavior, hostility, repetitive movements, lack of restraint, thought disorder, belief that an ordinary event has special meaning or personal meaning. The tortoise shell incident would definitely be hallucinations, paranoia, hearing voices, and it is common for males to be diagnosed at the age of 19, which is how old Austin was at the time of these attacks. From everything we've covered so far, it absolutely sounds like Austin could have been suffering from schizophrenia or some other mental illness. But let's play devil's advocate here for a moment. His mother was asked if she thought he was using steroids, and she said she would never believe that about him. But what if he was? When I first watched Austin's videos, I felt like he was obsessively talking about steroid use, and I also noticed that he was very muscular guy. So my immediate thought was, can steroid use cause OCD? I came across an article that said 5 to 8% of people using steroids experience steroid-induced mood symptoms such as mania or steroid psychosis. After steroids are discontinued, depression can persist for 4 weeks, mania for 3 weeks, and delirium, confused thinking and reduced awareness of surroundings, can last for a few days. And OCD accompanies mania about 50% of the time. Another article I read was about a 30-year-old man who was brought to the ER by his mother. She reported volatile outbursts for the last 3 weeks. He had no history of manic episodes or family history of mood disorders, but had recently joined a gym where she suspected steroids were being used. One of the examinations of the man were expansive mood, racing thoughts, inflated self-esteem, and decreased need for sleep. He would quickly go off on tangents about bodybuilding. Did that just describe Austin's life? I did research that steroid use would not show up on a typical blood test, only a more detailed one. Also, they can be out of your system within one to three weeks. So even with a detailed one, that doesn't mean, like, if it doesn't show up on there, that doesn't mean that you're not still dealing with the mental problems associated with steroid use that we talked a few minutes ago, knowing that those can last for about a month after the last use. An anonymous student at FSU that knew Austin came forward and said, "I don't think it was flaca or bath salts or any sort of hallucinogen. I just think this kid had a steroid dependency and had a bad, bad roid rage that night. I can attest that this guy had gotten bigger at alarming rates throughout our first year of college."
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the roid rage in other people before. I've known people who have taken it, and I've seen it. And so if you, especially if you combine somebody who has a family history of mental illness with something like this, I wonder if that compounds the effect or if that lengthens the time. So if they didn't find it in the system, with maybe other people who are more mentally stable, don't deal with those symptoms for, or those side effects for as long, but yeah, maybe somebody who isn't, who's struggling with that, the mental stuff already.
Yeah. I keep going back and forth with it. Was it a mental illness slowly creeping into his life that just came out completely that day? Or was it steroid use? Was it a mental illness brought on, like, with the use of steroids? I don't know. But I think about the night when the police could not get him off of John. Mm-hmm. And just, he was, I mean, I just imagine the Hulk, like, gripped onto to the victim. And I just don't see, like, the someone who's not, doesn't have some sort of something,
yeah,
helping him.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen those videos of those people being tased that are high on serious hard drugs, and they have to be tased 5 or 6 times before they go down. I mean, it's not normal to be that hard to subdue.
Yeah. Most recently, a doctor has come forward that recently evaluated Austin, who said that he thought Austin had made up the mental illness, but after examining him, he thinks he does suffer from something. He said that the fact that Austin persisted in biting the male victim in the presence of officers, in spite of being tased and receiving multiple kicks to the head, suggests that Austin was actively psychotic. He believed he had turned into a non-human being and was being persecuted. Austin's conduct of biting the male victim once police arrived is consistent with Austin's lycanthropy delusion that he was a dog. Austin said that after leaving the restaurant that night, he was following the stars and was heading back to his father's home. He saw a dark figure whom he recognized as a friend and thought he was an evil man trying to kill him. Austin told the doctor he sprinted away screaming with terror. He then saw Michelle in John's well-lit garage and stopped to ask for help. Michelle screamed and it scared Austin. He thought Michelle was a witch and she would hurt him. He also said that he thought he was a dog when he bit Michelle. This doctor diagnosed Austin with bipolar disorder. The doctor concluded that with reasonable medical certainty, Austin, as a result of severe mental illness, did not know that his conduct was wrong, which would meet the definition of insanity in Florida. He will still be evaluated by a second doctor.
Well, in thinking about the steroids and the mental illness, you also mentioned that they found Vyvanse in his room. And you're looking at Vyvanse online. It's a stimulant, like it's an ADHD medication. It can treat ADHD and binge eating disorder. However, it is a controlled substance like Adderall and many ADHD medications. And, and the first thing you look up says that it can cause rapid or irregular heartbeat, delirium, panic, psychosis, and heart failure. So if you have somebody who has this family history of mental illness, who's maybe on the brink himself, he's doing steroids, they found THC in his system, he's taking Vyvanse possibly, whether it's prescribed to him or not.
It's not.
Not prescribed. So taking somebody else's medication, maybe a doctor who could have actually evaluated him would not have put him on something like that.
Yeah.
So you have all these kind of compounding things that are creating some additional mental instability.
Yeah, when I first thought about the Vyvanse, since it is kind of like Adderall, I just figured he's a college student, and I feel like, not that it's the right thing, but so many of those kids get a hold of them. It's just what they do to study, whatever. But I didn't think of that as a possibility, that that really could have been impacting his mental health.
Yeah, it's just definitely unusual that they didn't find anything other than, what do they find, THC and
alcohol.
And alcohol.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know some of those medicines don't mix very well with alcohol either, but to not find either the Vyvanse or the steroids is, it's pretty frustrating. But again, some of those effects will
Well, I wonder how long the Vyvanse takes to come out of your system.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very interesting. I'm very, if he walks away with the insanity, not guilty by insanity, it's going to be really something. Not that he'll walk away. If he's found not guilty by reason of insanity, he will not just walk free. In Florida, that person would be sent to a mental facility or a similar institution for a term which may exceed the prison sentence they were facing. I imagine he would be facing life in jail anyways at this point, so he might be stuck in a facility for life. I don't imagine that he will be able to ever roam freely. I just don't know that he'll spend his life in prison. Trial is set for November 4th of 2019. So far, it appears that Austin will plead not guilty by insanity. He is charged with 2 counts of murder, attempted murder, resisting officer without violence, and burglary of a dwelling while armed. That charge was interesting to me because he didn't steal anything, but they said that since he went into the garage, that was burglary.
Okay.
I was like, all right. Michelle and John's children have also filed a wrongful death suit against him. So this won't be one court case for him. He'll have another one. I don't know. I imagine they'll try that the second time? After the first?
Yeah, from what I've read, it sounds like they're kind of prepping for the possibility of the not guilty by reason of insanity in there.
They're going to get some justice
way. Yeah, they're going to try and set themselves up for justice.
Well, before we end, I just wanted to touch on the victims a bit more because so much of this episode is about Austin. Michelle and John were just really good people, and like so many other victims out there, they weren't doing things to get themselves in the media. They're not well known. They were just good people living their lives. We can't Google them now and find out all the details about them. But I do know that they were really loved and they loved each other. I know that they're missed very much. At the time of their deaths, their son was preparing a trip home with his 3-month-old daughter that they had never met to have her baptism.
Yeah, that's really sad.
It's really sad. So, yeah, we'll just have to follow this case and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll definitely do an update whenever the trial
gets rolling.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys, thanks for listening. This was an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
I ate a hot dog when I was reading about him eating the skin off that guy's face. It wasn't intentional. It's just how the day plan worked out for me, and I was like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, it's so gross to think about that kind of stuff. But again, I don't know if I know we mentioned that he's from Florida, but another. I mean, it's. We could do an entire podcast. I mean, I've joked about it before, but that we could possibly just do them on people around here, on crazy situations just in our local area. But Florida is...
Right. I think there is actually a podcast called, like, Felonious Florida or something. but I do remember, whether it was this story or the other bath salt story, before it even said where it was, I knew it was Florida. When
right.
I heard that they were on bath salts eating somebody's face, it's like, oh, it's Florida.
Yeah.
It's always Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so check us out on the Instagram at youhadmeatmurder. Check out our website, youhadmeatmurder.com, or send us a Gmail at youhadmeatmurder@gmail.com.
And we are on Twitter at hadmeatmurder. Not you had me at murder, but at had me at murder. Follow us, like our posts, share them.
Yeah.
We appreciate the support.
And if anybody has any thoughts on where this case might go, or if you think he was on drugs or not on drugs, or on steroids, not on steroids.
If there's some fact that we've missed, if there's something you know about it, please share.
Please share. Please let us know. We want to know.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Are that people are out of touch with reality, disorganized speech or behavior, decreased decreased participation in daily behavior. People also may experience aggression, agitation, compulsive behavior, hostility, repetitive. I can't talk tonight.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.